The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths there and the face cloth, which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. This is the Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The grave has been robbed. That's the only explanation Mary Magdalene could imagine when she came to the tomb that first Easter morning. She had come to mourn Jesus' death and to finish preparing his corpse for burial using precious spices and ointments. She had expected to find a great stone disc covering the entrance to the tomb. But when she got there, the stone was gone and the tomb in which Jesus' body had been laid was empty. His earthly remains were nowhere to be found. What had happened? She could only imagine that someone, the Jews, the Roman someone, had taken his body away. Hadn't it been enough that they had crucified him? Were they now begrudging him even a decent burial? Mary was overcome. She had to do something. So she did the only possible thing. She ran and told Peter and John about the empty tomb. "The grave has been robbed. They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Peter and John immediately rushed to the tomb. Younger than Peter, John gets there first. But he doesn't go in. He bends over and looks into the empty tomb, but stays outside until Peter arrives. Peter rushes right in, of course, and discovers what John had already seen. The strips of linen that had been wound around Jesus' body are lying there, perhaps still in their folds, where Jesus had been laid. The hand towel-sized cloth that had been around Jesus' head is folded up separately, but Jesus' body is gone. When John finally comes in too, he saw and believed. Believed what? John believed what the evidence indicated. The stone is gone from the entrance. The tomb is empty. The burial cloths are all lying there where Jesus' corpse had been, and the head cloth is there too, but folded separately. If the grave had been robbed, if the body had been stolen or removed for any reason, surely the cloths would have been gone too. There isn't any reason for grave robbers to remove the grave cloths. And if they had, they wouldn't have been so neat about it. On the other hand, if some of Jesus' friends had removed the body for burial elsewhere, they would have kept it covered out of respect and would have needed those cloths when he was reburied. The only good explanation why the body is gone but the grave cloths aren't is that Jesus is risen and lives. He doesn't need them anymore. St. Luke explains that Peter went home marveling at what had happened. How could this be? Why didn't John tell him? The answer seems to be found in John's comment, "As yet, they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead." Perhaps John didn't fully trust his conclusion. Certainly, he didn't yet understand all of its implications. He believed Jesus had been raised, but not strongly enough to share it. His faith, as of yet, lacked that strong foundation of the scriptures. And so the disciples went back to their homes, Peter in a state of bewilderment, John without telling anyone what it all meant. Then Mary Magdalene returned to the garden where the tomb was located. How sad that John didn't share his faith with her. In despair, she still believed that the grave had been robbed, that she might never find where her Lord's body had been laid. What a difference just a few words from John could have made. What comfort they could have provided. What hope they could have given. But because the good news remained unspoken, she didn't believe. She knew no reason for hope. May we be forgiven when, like John, we have failed to speak, and may we use our lips from now on faithfully to share our faith and the hope that it gives with those who need it. But even though John had been silent, Mary's sadness wasn't to last much longer. Two angels appeared to her. In her grief and weeping, she apparently doesn't recognize them for what they are. So when they ask her why she's crying, she simply explains, "They have taken my Lord away, and I do not know where they have laid him." Before the angels respond, Jesus himself appears and says to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Not recognizing that this is Jesus, thinking that he was only the gardener. Mary responds, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." We can hardly imagine the relief and pure joy Mary felt when she heard Jesus say her name as he had so often said it before. She recognized it was him. Her response was immediate, and she addressed him with love and respect, "Rabboni," which means "my teacher." John doesn't record it, but we can almost see Mary rushing to Jesus' feet and holding on to him as if never to let him go. But finally he says to her, "Do not cling to me. I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" In the words that Mary is told to repeat to the disciples, Jesus in effect confirms her earlier judgment. The grave has indeed been robbed, yet far differently than she had thought. This wasn't just some petty larceny, a small potato's caper to steal a corpse. Not only was the stone at this grave rolled back, but the door of death's vault has been irreparably broken. It's been blown off its hinges. As St. Paul describes it, quoting from Isaiah, "Death is swallowed up in victory." Only days earlier, on Thursday evening, Jesus had reassured his disciples, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." The message Jesus gives Mary to deliver, "I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God," confirms for the disciples that he is keeping his promise. His work has been successful. Through his death and resurrection, he has prepared a place for them in his Father's home, opened for them the way to the Father. They can now truly be called children of the Heavenly Father. Death no longer has any claim on those who trust in Christ. As Luther wrote in our sermon hymn, "The reign of death is ended. Holy Scripture plainly saith that death is swallowed up by death. Its sting is lost forever." Jesus' words are also an absolution for his disciples. "Despite how they had behaved when he was arrested on Holy Thursday, nonetheless, he still describes them as brothers. Their despicable behavior hasn't caused him to disown them. And they still have the astonishing privilege to address the one who created the universe and holds it in his hands as Father. If ever there were rebellious and disobedient children, these disciples fit the bill. But Jesus' message for his disciples assures them that his Father remains also their God and Father. They can still gladly claim a place as God's own children. Beyond this, Jesus' words assure us that though he has gone to our God and Father, he has done so only to continue his work. He now prepares a place for you, so that you also may be where he is. That's why he robbed the grave, robbed of its power to hold you and anyone else who trusts in him. That's why he sends his Spirit to guide you and to teach you. That's why he answers your prayers and gives you his strength, because he wants you to join with the whole family of God in his heavenly home. When Mary Magdalene heard what Jesus said, she did exactly as she was told. She went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. It took a personal appearance from Jesus to convince them. But then believing disciples told others, and they told others. And that's how it is that we can be here today singing with joy, "Jesus Christ is risen today, alleluia." Now, it would be foolish to say that because the grave has been robbed, that is, because Christ has taken away death's power, that you and I won't ever have any problems. We all know that's just not the case. And Christ never promised any different either. Each of us experiences worries and frustrations by the dozen. Does that mean that the only benefit of Christ's resurrection, not that it by any means is a small benefit, is that we'll spend an eternity with him in heaven? Not at all. It's because Christ has risen that we have a high priest who is able to sympathize with us in our weaknesses, to intercede for us at the right hand of God, to rule over all things for the benefit of his church, for your benefit and mine. A risen Lord continues to nourish and sustain his church and all her members through the word and the sacrament, delivering you from evil, strengthening you in temptation, preserving you in faith and hope. And certainly this hope is not just for an eternity in the glories of heaven. Knowing that the champion over death, hell, and Satan, who has opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers, is watching over you, brings strength and encouragement in every fear and trouble. You can't know everything about your future, but you can know at least these two things. First, because Christ robbed the grave of its power, you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever with all those who trust in him. And second, the one who has power over the grave has power over everything else in all of creation as well. And he's promised that he is always with you and is watching out for you. May these two facts preserve you in a confident faith and a joyful hope in Christ every day, until that day that you see the fulfillment of every single one of his promises. Amen. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting. Amen.